I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni, and today I've got a good friend of mine who I've had on my previous podcast, but since we last spoke in a podcast format, things have been kind of in a whirlwind adventure. I think I was looking back the last time we spoke on a podcast, and he was running events. He was running some Be Your Greatness or something along those lines.
He's totally messed that up, brother. But
yeah. But anyway, I'll let Brett Campbell, he's now doing some really, really cool things, which we'll delve into. And then there's going to be some amazing tips on how you can leverage yourself as a speaker. So welcome to the show, Brett.
Brother, thanks for having me again. Thanks for totally chewing and spitting up, the intro to myself. At least you got my name right. That's probably a main thing. That's all that really counts. No, but mate, absolute pleasure to be back here. And you're right. And you know, the last time we did an episode together would be a good couple of years ago. And since then, I know we've both been head down, bum up, doing a lot of things. Yeah, mate, looking forward to sharing with the audience.
So give the audience a bit of a background on you, because we're going to delve in, for everyone listening, we're going to delve into some marketing strategies, because I don't really know anyone better. That's not saying I don't know good people. I don't know anyone better in the online marketing space than Brett. And he's got some runs on the board. So why should people listen to you? What have you kind of done up till now?
Yeah, mate, I can give you I'll give you the sort of highlight reel, the quick version of it, just so people can get some context, because I believe this really ties into speaking as a whole. I knew at an early age, as far back as I could remember, that I was put on this planet to speak, right? When I first started speaking, I didn't know it was going to be speaking in a format where I can help motivate and inspire and drive other people to live to their, you know, ultimate potential. It was more about, I just had a lot of words that I wanted to say. So I was that really talkative kid right at school. You know, my mum said I could talk underwater. So I took that as a nice little accolade. I was like, oh, that's good, you know. But I was a kid that got kicked out of high school because I was speaking too much. Like, I'd speak to my friends. I'd always want a conversation. I'd always want to talk about stuff, right? I was super curious. Kicked out of high school, fell into a trade in New Zealand. So back where I was living in a little town called Huntly wasn't the most ambitious place. Just Google it. It might come up. I think it's made Google for all the wrong reasons. Yeah, it's made Google for all the wrong reasons. But anyway, why I'm sharing that is I got kicked out of school for the thing that I now get paid very well to do, right? But it was very misguided, and I had no idea what I, you know, ultimately wanted to be speaking about. I wanted to be an actor. That's what it was for me. but over time and over the years, I realized that wasn't the actual outcome for me. So, you know, in a job, hated, got to a point, I was there for 5 years, you know, and I was like, you know, I've got to leave, jumped on an airplane, had a suitcase, my golf clubs in hand, and moved to the Gold Coast to start what I would call my entrepreneurial journey. And that's where I became a fitness professional, trading time for money. I used the good thing that I had, you know, I used the ability to be able to speak underwater, to be able to quickly build up a client list. I was very, very approachable, and I was very, I felt like when I was speaking, I was always putting off a nice energy. You know, like some people can speak and it can be quite deterring, but for me, I had a natural gravitation towards having conversations with people, and that's what sort of helped me start the fitness business. And then one day I was walking out to go and train clients in the evening, and I walked past my roommate, her computer, and she had a workout program on there. I was like, what is that? She's like, yeah, I just bought this workout program. It was $37. And that's where the light bulb in my head went off. And everything changed from there. I became obsessed about online marketing. I was like, this internet thing is going to be the thing that's going to help me get my message out there to the world. At the time, the message was, let's just create some workout programs and products. But, you know, as the natural progression, I think, of a speaker, of a lot of speakers that I certainly communicate with and have had conversations with and, you know, coached and mentored over the years, I feel once we get to the sort of point we want to see people be the best versions of themselves. You know, so I created a company called Unleash Your Greatness, which is all about, you know, reaching your full potential. How do you do that in a tactile way, you know, in a structured way, because it's okay being motivated, but, you know, and feel real pumped about it. But then you leave an event or you stop listening to the podcast. You're like, jeez, I feel inspired to do something great, but I've got absolutely no idea how to do it. You know, hence why, like, your events that you're going to be running and have been running around, how do you actually get your message out there and how do you clearly articulate and communicate in such a way that it actually has impact, right? And impact that gets rippled through, not just that was really cool, that was great, and then you're forgotten about. So I use speaking as a key pillar to build many of my businesses. So our fitness company that we had, which was the fastest growing fitness franchise at its time here in Australia, we built 30, when we launched, we had 35 locations around the country. It was just, everything was crazy. You know, coaching and mentoring was all built off the back end of speaking, running events. So for me, speaking has always come naturally. But I do remember my first ever speaking event where, like, when I realized I wanted to be a speaker, here's what I did. So I attached myself to a mentor and said, hey, can I come to every single one of your events? I'll pay for my tickets and everything to fly around the country with you to just sit and watch and observe, until I mustered up the courage to say, hey, can I run one of the sessions? And they said, yep, cool, you can run one of the sessions. And I had the most epic fail you could ever have. So I thought, here's what I'm going to do to be a good speaker. I'm going to record his session and then I'm going to go home and just listen to it on repeat, bang, bang. And then when it's my turn to deliver the session, I delivered it exactly how he did it, and it flopped. Not because he delivered it bad, it was because I was trying to be someone I wasn't. Right. So really trying to find your true, authentic you as a speaker. For me, once I allowed myself to be the Brett Campbell of Australia, right? And I share that because I was in an event and someone goes, oh, you want to be the Tony Robbins of Australia? I said, no, I don't want to be Tony Robbins of Australia. I want to be Brett Campbell of Australia. And when I had that moment, I was like, shit. You know, I mean, I think, like all speakers, right? Or most speakers, is you go, oh, what, I've been watching Les Brown or Zig Ziglar, and, you know, and you're trying to be like them. It's like, you know, listen to me closely. You know, you're trying to be ET, hip hop preacher, and you're trying to be someone else that you're not. So for me, it was just finding my own feet in the speaking world and then allowing that to navigate the rest of the journey. So, mate, before I hijack your entire podcast for speaking too much, I'm gonna shoot back to you.
What I'm interested in, so it now, like, I guess what you're doing now, how did speaking influence or impact your business?
Well, speaking as a general equation is everything, right? So it's clear to go, are we talking speaking from stage, speaking from podcasts, speaking on video, speaking to humans, speaking to our new team, right, our team, and so on and so forth. So learning how to communicate, whether you have the ambition of standing on a stage in front of 30,000 people, or you're wanting to sit down in a one-on-one sense and have a dialogue with a potential prospect or customer or a potential team member to join your team, speaking and communication is everything, right? It's if you don't know how to communicate, you got nothing.
And so where has this big speaking journey, where's it got you now? Where are you now?
Well, mate, I'm sitting in the office right now. We've been in our new office here for the last 3 weeks. 2 days ago, we actually just rebranded our digital growth agency. So it was Campbell Media Group. So for the last 2 years, I've been head down, bum up, building Australia's fastest and most successful digital growth agency. So we took out 2018 Best Small Social Media Agency of the Year award in Australia and New Zealand. We've built a team of about 20 people now and growing. But more importantly, we're achieving amazing results for our clients. So we've got the luxury of being able to see what millions of dollars of ad spend does in, you know, 30 plus different industries. So our digital growth agency, we're a performance-based business. So we help build and scale businesses using paid traffic.
And sorry, I was in the zone there. Listening away. With all of that, I mean, let's draw on that huge amount of knowledge. I mean, you've got 30 different industries, but let's say there's someone who's an expert or an authority, a coach, whatever it may be in a particular industry, and are looking to come to you and they say, hey, Brett, I want to run some sort of events. Like, you know, they may be clueless. They may not understand that there's free events and then there's, you know, cheap events and then there's more expensive events and all the different things. They come in and sit down with you. What would, say, a strategy session for them look like to kind of get them to where they want to go?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the best place in which I always start is the place where people don't want me to start. And that's because it's not tactile, right? I've been on this rant of the last few weeks since I've sort of stepped back out of the building of the business right at this moment and more of the day-to-day and stepping back out and now sharing our narrative out there to the world, because I've seen something, an epidemic sweeping through businesses, and especially the solopreneur community or the, you know, the person with maybe a team of five and under. I've seen something absolutely crazy happening there. And I put my hand up because I was one of those people as well. And I was sort of, I had that initial mindset as well. I mean, the first place that we all need to start looking at, if you're a speaker, you're a coach, if you're a marketer and you want to get your products or services out and you want to sell more and make more money, you need to get serious about, are you actually building a business, right? This is game changing. Are you actually building a business or are you just trying to generate some money so you can have some, you know, 100, 150 grand a year, you know, that you're sort of drawing from your, you know, drawing from your business? Like, what do you actually want? Because that dictates everything. That changes everything. If you've got goals of you want to do 10 mil a year, okay, that will drastically change the way your event schedule and events look like and your event marketing and strategy around it all than if you're going, oh, I only want to make 500 grand a year. So you have to get super clear on, and I say this because not only have I built my own speaking company, I've helped dozens of entrepreneurs build their own speaking companies as well. And this is where it's got to start from. It's like, what is it going to look like? What do you want? You know, most people come to me for the Facebook strategy or the, what's the marketing hack? What's the marketing tactic? And it's like, I'll tell you what the marketing tactic is you need to work out, what do you want this thing to look like first? How much can you actually afford to get a bum on seat, whether it's free or whether it's paid? If you don't know your economics, you just don't know. Because when you know that you can spend $89 to acquire a free ticket, because on the back end, you're going to make $843,000, blah, 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 right? When you know those numbers, that's when paid advertising and investing into your business becomes super easy. Become super easy. You know, when I was running and they've been on hiatus for the last 2 years because I've been building this new company, you know, when I was running events, like it was actually, if I've got to be honest, a speaking business, speaking and coaching business was the easiest business I've ever built. Like I looked at my targets. I was like, cool, I want to be doing, I want to be doing $1 million a year net from our speaking consulting business. And here's what that's going to look like. Cool, you're going to do 8 big events here. You're going to do, you know, 20 small events. You're going to need this many people at each event because this is the basic conversion rate that you're going to get from each one. And it just became clockwork. Then when it came time to market an event, it was like, cool, we're 6 weeks out from the event. Let's go heavy on it right now. Let's launch the marketing plan. And that didn't change very often because it just kept working and working. So I knew what I could spend to acquire a lead and I knew what the back end would look like from there. Yeah, people are trying to run events and fill events and they're like, I'll just do it free. But at the end of the day, so how many free people do you need in there to make a sale? And what's your sale worth? What's the actual net profit based off that? Not how much is the gross, because you've got to put in delivery costs and all of this. So that really ties back to the starting point, mate, of what do you want this business to look like? Is it a hobby or a business? Because that changes every other decision that we make moving forward from there.
Yeah, and I guess once you understand the power of, I was having this chat with a friend the other day, and he was talking about a business that he's thinking of starting, et cetera, and he said, oh, yeah, we'll have to start it off, I'll have to start it off slow and then, build it up, do this, blah, blah. I'm like, you don't realize you're creating an online business. You've got a fire hose that if you know how to turn it on, you don't have to worry about SEO. You just have to know how much can you make off the back end of these people and how much money have you got to be able to afford to get them in to then, test and measure and that sort of thing, which I think is, a lot of people don't understand how quickly you can potentially, if you've got all the moving parts set up, you can flick that switch. And that's obviously what you guys help in as well.
Well, and I'm going to give you a very biased opinion here, right? But what I know now, even if I was to no longer be a part of our digital growth agency and I was going to go start a brand new business, the last thing that I personally would be doing is running my own ads. Telling you, unless you want to go and build your own digital growth agency, then I highly recommend going to learn everything you can about ads, learn everything you can about marketing, about psychology, about everything you can with what it takes to become really good at it. But if you don't want to build a digital growth agency, don't go and do none of that. Right. I was talking to someone today, and I offer some consulting, to an organization that I've got a close relationship with, and I help out some of their students. And, the question that I got today was, I want to do some more things around ads. I'm not really sure about, what's the best, for targeting and all of like these questions, tactile questions. And I said to this particular person, I said, look, do you think it's weird how you don't see any posts out there on Facebook around people asking, what do I put in the W-2 field in Xero when I'm submitting my BAS? Like, there's no one out there on Facebook asking those questions. There's also no one on Facebook going, hey, I got a letter from, Ernst & Young Legal yesterday and they want to sue me for XYZ. How would you reply to this? Like, you don't see those questions, right? Because they're established industries. You go to an accountant and you go to a lawyer, right? You go to the people who know what they're bloody doing. People are seeing advertising and marketing as it's, so I'll just do it because it's fun, right? And that is the furthest thing from the truth. Marketing is a very, very highly skilled pillar inside an organization. And business owners and solopreneurs are going, well, I like marketing, so I'm going to do that. Or I don't really see the value in investing in that. Hold on a minute. Marketing is the lifeline of your business. If you don't have any leads or sales coming through, you got absolutely diddly squat. You can have the best patent or best trademark or best kept secret on the planet, but none of that means nothing if you're not getting it out there to people, right? So I've been on this big rant of late of business owners, entrepreneurs staying in their lane, working on what they're really, really good at and outsourcing. And of course, I've got a biased opinion around this because this is why I've created this business, because, I was coaching hundreds and hundreds of entrepreneurs, and mate, you can lead a horse to water. You can even jump on the bloody neck and put the head in the water, but they've still got to drink it, right? So for me, it was like I was sharing our best strategies always, and I've always been an open book. I've shared my best strategies we've ever used to generate millions of fans organically when organic was crazy, to generate leads and so on and so forth. But the reality is most people just don't go and do it, right? They don't go and do it because what originally starts out as, oh, this is really exciting, this is cool, I like marketing, yeah, ads, that's fun. I get to do some creative images on Canva. You quickly realize that in order to generate business, whether it's filling up your events or selling your online products or, building a product or service-based business, marketing needs to be taken seriously and advertising needs to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Right? So I was sharing this with this person. I'm like, right. So at the end of the conversation, he's like, there you go. Yep. You're right. I don't even know why I was thinking about doing it. And this is because Facebook advertising, Google, like paid advertising is an unestablished industry right now. It's still so fresh, right? It's still new. It's the wild, wild west out there still. There's a lot of cowboys out there, and I get that, and I totally understand that, and I know why they're trying to do it and all of those things, but the reality is it's not established. People are getting burnt, so they're like, I'll do it myself. I'll just learn it myself. And that's just unfortunately, it's – and fortunately for us, though, because it's – you know, I mean, we've been operating 2 years, and we haven't even started our own marketing. Mm-hmm. Like that's absolutely – crazy that we haven't even like we're a digital growth agency. We haven't even like we've only started to put out a few little bits and pieces because I want to. Do you know what I mean? Versus, well, we don't even have an ad right now or no ads running to, hey, let's do business together. So this can help for a lot of speakers too, because I obviously want to tie back into speakers here. Is that is purely based on, I've been putting value out, and as you've known me for many years, I've been putting value out to the internet for a long time, right? Sharing, whether it's videos. I mean, the first 12 months of building Campbell Media Group, which is now Klaxon, the first 12 months of that, we did a daily vlog. Like, and we're putting out some really good content. And we're just reaping the rewards of the seeds that we sowed back in 2, 3, 4, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. So the best thing a speaker can do to get people showing up and turning up to their events is putting out massive amounts of content that is valuable, right? I'd rather you put out one piece of content a day that's valuable than 20 that's shit or 20 that's super average, right?
The Periscope days and the Facebook Live days when everyone was going, 20 times a day with crap.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in saying that, I tried to break the world record of Facebook Lives. Admittedly, I don't know what the actual record was, but we're aiming to do 100 in one day, and we got 66 and we got shut down by Facebook. They weren't 66 pieces of crap. It was like, it was an inspirational message. Everyone's, it was like a minute long, right? Or 2 minutes long each one. And I wasn't like, hey, this is my 56th. See you on the 57th. Like, you know, I was still putting out, and you know, that in itself, just by doing that actually, landed me a lot of business just from doing that. And that was just a stupid idea I had the night before. And I messaged a videographer and Jake, who you know, I'm like, all right, we're doing the 100 lives tomorrow. He's like, oh, okay. And then I started to work it out, and I'm like on the calculator. I was like, okay, so if I do a live and it's average 2 minutes and this and that, oh my God, this is going to take up a few hours of my day. Basically, my whole day was hijacked by the silly idea. But again, people can see out there, they get to know a lot more about me as a person. I mean, there's two trains of thought. There's the, do you want to be the expert that people just throw up on a pedestal and think that you're, you know, like as much as I actually, I won't even use this person because I despise them in the space. Here's an example. All right, I've gone blank there, but would you rather be someone who's sort of elusive and, but you're only ever seen in a professional manner? You know, like let's use Brendan Burchard, right? Love the guy to death, but he's only just starting to come out of his cage in the sense of showing more behind the scenes of who he actually is as a human being. Yeah. Like the first 5 years of knowing him, I'd never even seen a photo of his wife online. Now, again, some people don't want to do that, but there's the, do you want to be seen in that light, or do you want to be like Gary Vee, for example, where you get to see everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? There are two different ways, and you've got to pick which one you want. You can't sort of, I'm going to do a bit of this and a bit of that. It's like, pick which flavor really resonates with you. I feel it's a lot easier just to be me 100% of the time, right? Yeah. I can sleep well at night, and I know if I ever say something, I'll stand behind what I'm saying, you know? So, and that makes it a lot easier when you're having conversations with people, and it allows you to vibe more with other people, because again, energy flows, right? Energy is palpable, and people will be able to pick up if someone's authentic or not. Like, you don't have to be a great speaker to make good money in the speaking world. You just have to be as authentic as you possibly can. Like, be the real you. People will gravitate towards that, man. You don't need to be Tony Robbins. You don't need to be a Zig Ziglar, E.T., Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant, any people. You need to be yourself, and you just need to be good at it. Be good at being you.
Yeah, and I think you've, like, going back to your thing on Yeah, it'd been the Wild West. I crack up. I've seen ads targeting people wanting to start their own kind of, you know, one-man agencies. And it's like, get this course on how to install a pixel.
And, sorry, brother, keep going. I've got my team outside making a ruckus.
And yeah, they're sitting there going, like, how you can install a pixel. And it's like, man, am I – yeah, I see them all the time. You see them all the time in Facebook groups and on pages, and they're going, hey, I'm looking for my first client. Or even worse, in different groups I've seen, I've got my first client. Does anyone know how to get mortgage brokers leads? Or this? Yeah. And you're sitting there going, oh my God, how are you taking X amount of dollars a month of somebody with no runs on the board? And you've probably just learned how to install a pixel. You got no strategy in place. Like, you haven't started from, is this going to be a lifestyle business? Is this going to be, you know, an empire that you're building up, and all of those things? So, I mean, I think those are really important. You know, I mean, I'd highly recommend Brett, but this, if you are looking for somebody out there, it's not just about setting up Facebook ads or Google ads or having anything in and around that. If you're a speaker, or even if it's with your business, it's a lot more of like, hey, has this person got runs on the board? Have they spent their own money, you know, throwing it out behind ads? Have they got results for their clients? Can you ring up their clients who are in the same space or similar space and go, what's it been like working with Joe Blogs? Because otherwise it's just this recipe of, yeah, I think you're running a way bigger risk when someone says, I'll run your ads for free, you just pay for the ad spend. Like, I realize you want to get experience somewhere, but if they stuff it, if they haven't got the things in place, if they haven't got retargeting or email campaigns or whatever it may be, or the right funnel set up, or just the right strategy in place from the start, you're going to be in more trouble than not.
Here's the problem, right? Entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, small little startups, they know enough to be dangerous, right? They know terms like email campaigns and, I've got to do a drip sequence, or I've got to set up a ManyChat message bot. You know, they know enough to be dangerous, but they don't know how to create an overall ecosystem of what's going to be successful. Let me just break this down, because this will open up anyone's eyes to what it really takes to create winning Facebook campaigns, okay? Right. And this should deter you, because look, I sort of feel sorry for people who have been burnt by other people out there. But I also need to now say, you know what? You need to take personal responsibility of who you decide to work with. If you're not smart enough or emotionally intelligent enough to go, hold on a minute, I'm actually going to ask some questions. Do you have any results? Tell me about that. Show me that. Don't just go in blind, right? Just don't go in blind. Like, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go get a tattoo from a guy who's told me that he's done some good tattoos. I want to see his work. I want to see some people who have tattoos from him. I want to ask them, how was the experience, right? That's just doing your due diligence. If you're in business, you should be doing your due diligence regardless, right? Regardless of whatever you're looking to do, you need to do your due diligence. But let me share this. So if you are out there and you're interested in trying to find someone to help with your marketing and fill your events, which I think is the best possible thing that you could possibly do, is this. So there's five specific lenses that you need when it comes to creating winning Facebook advertising campaigns. And to preface this, this is a collection of, I've created this narrative of spending multiple millions of dollars, right? I spent $2 million myself personally before starting our growth agency. So I, you know, to run my own companies at the start, I spent over $2 million myself, right? And this is collective knowledge based off success over thousands and thousands of campaigns. There's five lenses in which you need five unique skill sets. One is the technician. Okay, that's the person who sits in the Facebook Ads Manager. They're the one who creates the ad. Right? They're the one that goes in, yep, we're going to use dynamic creative. We're going to do this. We're going to have a carousel. We're going to go bang, bang, bang. We're going to target 18 to 50, 55-year-old Eskimos living in African plains, right? They're the technician. They love data. They love analytics. They're the ones who go in and they find out that actually the best audience was 24-year-old blonde females living in the Gold Coast who are interested in makeup, right? That's the technical component. That's a very analytical minded person. The second lens you need is that of the copywriting. The copywriter, man, and this just baffles me. Like, people will write their ads. This is how people write their ads. They'll open up their ad account and they'll go, oh, headline, 50% off new product, bang, bang. They'll write it on the fly. Like there is no intentional thought put in behind it. That in itself baffles me. But a copywriter, they need to be, they need to understand psychology. They need to understand persuasion, influence, how to get someone to go from A to Z seamlessly using words and words only. That is a skill. I jumped onto that like 12 years ago, 11 years ago now, and I still feel like I'm learning so much about copywriting. I tell you what, hands down, one of the, other than speaking, well, basically it helps you speak because when you're speaking, you need to know what to say effectively. Copywriting is basically, instead of me writing down these words, I'm saying them in the correct order that's going to make the correct movement or pattern or feeling for someone who's listening, right? So copywriting is absolutely integral component. And that's a very creative type of mind, right? A very different thinking. So you've got analytical to start with, and then you've got to expect to be a very creative, emotional type thinker. The third lens is that of creative itself. So designing, the person, the creative designer who knows how to design an image, who knows how to mix colors so it looks pretty. Yeah. But then you've got the creative thinker with inside of that going, okay, so if we're looking to sell avocados, what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to create a video or an image where there's an avocado running down the street and he's jumping over hurdles and he's about to hand the baton off to his cousin avocado or whatever, right? Whatever idea you come up with. That's in alignment with the writing, the copywriting, the words. Those three need to speak synergistically because you could have the right message, the right product, but the right, wrong targeting, bonk, bonk, right? And vice versa, we can go through all of those things. You could have the right words with the wrong image and the right targeting, and it ain't going to work. It's just going to, it just has to feel right. Marketing done perfectly needs to feel seamless. Like you need to be lying in bed and you're like, holy shit, I just bought this thing and I didn't even realize I went through that process. That is good marketing, right? The fourth lens that we need to look at is that of strategy. So that's the person who creates the map. That's the person who goes, okay, so we've got product X, we've got a plastic cup. How are we going to sell our 45,000 units of this plastic cup, right? What are we going to do with this thing? What are we going to do now in a month, in 3 months, 6 months? What are we going to do in the first 2 weeks that's going to start to build equity that we're going to be able to pick all the fruits in 4 months or 6 months? So they're the strategy maker, the map maker. Right? They create the lay of the land. And then the fifth lens, and this is why we have an unfair advantage, I believe, in agency world right now, is that of the business builder. So at the heart, I'm a business builder. I love building businesses. I've got multiple businesses and every single business that I've built is doing fantastic, right? And it's not because I'm great. It's just because I have this natural movement towards solving problems. And that's what business is just solving problems. I secretly love problems. That's why I get so many of them come to me because I love solving them, right? I'm a bit of a weird guy when it comes to that. But the business builder looks at it and goes, okay, Victor, so you come to me, we're sitting down, you're like, Brett, I need 100 people in your event. I'm like, why do we need 100? And you break down and you're like, because I need to make $4 million a year. That's our targets and goals. I'm like, okay, well, how else are you going to do this? And we look at it from the business holistically, 30,000 foot view. And I'm like, okay, I can see if you use us, we're going to break you at about 6 months because you're not going to have the infrastructure. You're not going to have the team. You're not going to have this, 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 and this in place. Right now, think about it. What does that have to do with Facebook ads? Absolutely diddly squat, but it has everything to do with Facebook ads. Right? So knowing how to build and grow a business will rapidly change the way in which you look at advertising, marketing, your sales, your accounting, your finances, everything. So that is how you create winning Facebook advertising campaigns.
Yeah. Well, I know personally, I've only got two lenses in my glasses. So I can 100% agree that if you do not have those five lenses in place, then you're going to get a few bumps along the way. I always love having a chat with you because it is this insight that's gleaned from experience as well as, you know, developing and, you know, overcoming these problems where it's a lot better than theoretical. Yep.
If you... Oh, mate, like, I was talking to my team yesterday and I was like, oh my, like, if I could go back to myself 6 years ago when I was running ads, I was spending thousands of dollars a day running ads, I would go and punch myself right in the nose. So I'd be like, Brett, what are you doing? Like, I was doing the path of least resistance, man. Like, I would put an ad up and I'd sometimes feel, oh, I don't even know if this is going to work, but I'm going to be able to get it up really quickly, right? Like, I didn't sit down and map out an entire strategy. And like, what got me through was just relentlessness of never failing, right, overall. But, yeah, and I'll caveat this by saying, look, you don't have to have all of those five lenses to get some results. But if you want to win consistently and long-term, you need to start thinking in that context. But yeah, man, like when I first started advertising, my way of tracking it, there was no tracking pixels. There was none of that stuff. There was no analytics inside Facebook. It was very, very basic. How I tracked was how much money was in my ClickBank account at the time. So I was using ClickBank Marketplace versus how much was going out of my account every day. That was it. That was how I tracked it. I was like, cool, made 10 grand today on in my ClickBank account. And I spent three. Cool. Great. Yeah. Let's go. Next day, I'm going to spend five. You know what I mean? Like that's how I was making decisions. Silly, but I had, I guess, enough natural ability and, you know, relentlessness to figure it out. Like I wasn't sort of sitting back and waiting things to happen. You know, every hour I had, I was trying to obsess over this stuff, trying to figure it out.
And I think that's, again, what you come back to is staying in your lane. Do you, as a business owner, want to become obsessed with Facebook marketing? Like to me, it's a lot better time spent becoming obsessed with overall marketing so that, you know, when you do come and sit down with someone like you, you're like, hey, cool, this is something that I'd like to do and this is the reasons why. And you can, you know, both wear that fifth lens of being a business builder and understanding the psychology than it is, you know, you don't go and get a random PT for no reason. Yeah, it's your due diligence. You don't buy a house and go, oh yeah, no, the owner said that structurally it's pretty good. It's probably no termites.
Yeah, there's no termites. Yeah. Oh shit. I'll save $40 on a $200 on a termite check.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to get my car checked. I'm just going to buy it off Fred from around the corner because he says it's legit and he just got a service on it. Yeah, righto, Fred. Yeah. Right, like that. It's true, man. And you got to look at it from a different perspective and look at your business. And the question that I think everyone needs to ask overall is: are you really trying to build a business, or are you just trying to sort of, you know, earn some cash flow to pay the bills and a little bit more than what you might get from a job? The unfortunate reality is most entrepreneurs, startups who are trying to run their own business are making less money than what you would if you actually went and had a job. Like when you actually break it down, you know, it's like it's what you're losing in income, you're making up for feeling proud about trying to be an entrepreneur. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'd certainly, if we had have had this interview and you asked me these questions, I would love to hear my answers, you know, 2 years ago, but it's changed dramatically. You know, like in the way in which we've built our own business, but even, you know, how we build and help build our clients' business. Like we got clients who, you know, billion-dollar companies down to, you know, small businesses, right? And having conversations with CEOs and CMOs of large corporations where they're like, oh, this is our ad budget for the next 12 months. Like, this is where my head goes, oh, okay. And this is where the marketer just jumps out at me because I'm like, oh, okay. So that's all you're allowed to spend over the next 12 months. So I was like, you know, 30 grand this month, 30 grand that month. Here we can spend 50, there 30. And it's like, how can you already? And I understand, first and foremost, I understand that that's a baseline, but it's like, you don't even realize what this potential 30 grand can do in month one to month two. We want you spending $3 million a month if, you know, if your business can take it. And that's why you got to understand about the business and the potential. And, you know, like what I say about anyone who joins with us and, you know, works with us is we're going to quickly find out whether you're sitting on a gold mine, right? Or if your business is set for failure. That's it. Because we will break your business. And I don't want to say that in a way where, because you don't break it overnight. But what I mean is, if you're not set up for And again, we wouldn't wildly just go and create campaigns and, you know, et cetera, to break your business.
$10,000 got you 10,000 new clients. And
But what I mean as well on the flip side of that is we'll quickly know if your positioning's not right, because you can run traffic to a page and not get a result. And you're like, okay, well, there's this wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. The way you're positioning the product is wrong. A lot of speakers man, the success, I think, is so... The difference between success and failure in the speaking world is very, very minute, I feel. The way in which you position your events, you know, people are, I'll just do free because that person's doing free, or I'll do a $75 event and then I'll do a VIP ticket, or I'm going to do a $1,000 ticket up front and I'm not going to sell anything, or whatever it is that you got to go, where's that coming from? Why are you using that strategy? And how does that strategy fit into your overall 12-month business plan, the goals, right, the targets? Because if you're just doing a free event because you've seen Brett run a free event, you don't know what I'm doing on the back end, the middle end, and any other end that there is, right? You don't know what my conversion is, your conversion is. So you've got to start being serious about your business. Or if you're just – you have no and I find this with a lot of speakers. A lot of speakers just want to speak. They just want to speak. Cool. Well, you need to build a team around you of people who are obsessed about building business and build the speaking company.
Yeah,
that's how you're going to get on more. So don't wait for Bobby Jones to call you and invite you to be a keynote speaker on a stage. You might get one of them a year or a couple of them a year or whatever, depending on how good you are, right? You have to build the infrastructure around you. Hire people, partner with someone, right?
Yeah. I think the big thing as well when you said you don't know what you're doing on the back end and the middle end and all the rest of it is it's also like this – the when you're talking about that whole business strategy, it's the 1, 3, 6, 12, 24 months down the track of not, oh, you know, Brett ran this free event and then he upsold them to $1,000 program. And then it's like, oh yeah, that's cool. But you don't also understand that, oh, okay, if I do that, you know, it might be a ton of hard work, but then it might be 6 months down the track, you're signing 50% up of them up to a $25,000 or a $12,000 program. And then, yeah, a year later you're doing done for you services for them off the back end and you've got a team, and that's when it finally all turns profitable, because you know you could afford to burn the money up front because you knew that down the back end it was coming. And I think that's the dangerous thing when people don't have that kind of a session model from a speaking point of view. And I've had other guests who have talked about, you know, they use keynote presentations as basically, even though a lot they'll get paid, they use it as their free opt-in. Basically, you know, companies will see them, they'll want to then hire them for consulting or hire them to do done for you things, where as I said, you know, a lot of other speakers will use that as a end goal. I want to be a great speaker, and then they're just leaving all this other stuff on the table.
The only time you're going to be a keynote speaker and get, you know, $5,000 gigs and you're going to get them consistently a few a month is when you actually have some massive value to be able to provide. And I'm not saying what your story isn't massively valuable, but there needs to be some like celebrity connection to it. You need to be the leader in your field. You need to be the best at something, you know, or you need to be pioneering that and be the vocal piece of all of that, or else you're not going to get the gigs. But I've got one relationship that, and I'll share this with you, where I had an opportunity to speak at a particular organization, and I got called on a Thursday afternoon to, hey, do I want to go to fly at the jump on an airplane to go? I'm trying not to give it away because I want to share some other stuff about it, but I had to go and jump on an airplane the very next day at 6 a.m. And I was talking to this person at 7 p.m. at night. Our call ended at 9 p.m. by me saying, oh, when are you needing me? And he goes, oh, tomorrow. I'm like, holy crap. I was like, cool, I'll do it. And it was free, right? I even said I'd pay for my tickets to go down. He's like, I'll cover you there. And I said to my missus, or my wife now, I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to going to speak tomorrow. I'm flying down. I'm going to take the day off because, again, our companies, it was all good. Everything was going great. And I was literally just going to share my story, really, sharing my story and talking about sales funnels in between. So it was a pretty cool presentation. Long story short, I created it on the airplane down there. It's one of the highest rated speakers that this organization has ever had. And I have been picking the fruits from that for forever since. Like, it's been the most valuable relationship I could ever create, because I give myself up for free. I'm happy to, mate, people reach out to me now. If it fits, I'll speak for free. Like, I'm not sitting here going, oh, I've got a, you know, multi-million dollar companies. I should be getting paid 20 grand to go and speak. I know I'll go and speak at any organization. Go and give me 10 people in an audience, right? 10 people in an audience who are my sort of target market. I'll make way more than 20 grand out of those 10 people. Mm. And because I'll provide such immense value that they will not be able to not commit to something. Right. And that's the value there, right? Is people have got it around the wrong way. So many speak. I joined the speaker thing a few years ago. It was the biggest piece of crap I've ever joined in my life. It was such a rort. I won't shout them out, but I should. but what was happening, you know, 95% of speakers wanted to be speakers so they could just do some keynotes and live off that. And it's like, that is going to be the hardest path for you ever to become recognized in the speaking world. You need it. Like, let me share to you the extent of which I'm going to right now, right? So a lot of people would look at on the outside and go, Brett, you're successful, you're doing this, you're building this business, you've got multiple businesses, et cetera, et cetera. You're really busy. People will be reaching out to you to speak. Yes, people do reach out to me to speak. However, I'm now in a position inside my organization where I'm committing 80% of my full time on the clock, let's call it, to speaking, to talking about what we're talking about here, because I'm so effing passionate about it, whether it's podcasts or there's live events, etc. So I am right now reaching out to people, asking them. Like, I'm not waiting for them to go, oh, I'm not sitting here feeling entitled going, man, I've spent millions of dollars and I've generated, you know, over 2 million leads total collectively and I've made this many millions and all of this. I'm not going, I'm now too good for people for me to reach out. Hell no, I'll reach out to anyone. Like, I mean, the reason why we're doing this podcast, because I reached out to you and said, dude, let's do a podcast.
Yeah.
And guess when that happened?
Yesterday,
you sent me the link. I booked one of the first available times that I had, which was this afternoon, right? And this is just to show you, like, for speakers who are listening, and this doesn't like this. I don't want this to try and be, oh, this is how good Brett is. This is just what I'm prepared to do, right? I know what I have to share is extremely valuable, and I'll do whatever I have to do to share it. And I think too many speakers are sitting on their high haunches waiting for a bloody invite to be a keynote at the World Gala.
Yeah. And I think one of the big things is like, A, how much do you like flying? Like 0%, like all over. Like, if you're going to be a keynote speaker, it's not going to all be in your city. You're going to be flying left, right, and center. And to make, you know, a decent crust, if you are an awesome keynote speaker and you're getting, I don't know, 10 or 20 grand to talk, you're still going to be doing a hell of a lot of flying, a hell of a lot of hotels, hell of a lot of time away from your family and your friends. But I mean, you can, like you say, find the right audience. Russell Brunson, you know, jumped up and I don't know what, $3.5 million in a 90-minute presentation that he did for free. And it's like, okay, what his speaking fee, if he decides he'll speak, is what, like $150,000 or something like that. But I heard a podcast where he's like, he just puts it so in case it's an awesome opportunity, but he's saying no to pretty much all of those organizations that are willing to pay 100 because it's not worth it. It's not 150K versus, you know,
here's where it is, dude. Here's where I feel that is, because I feel like I've got a bit of an opinion around that. Is it's marketing, bro. He's a fucking great marketer. I tried not to swear podcast. I'm trying to do my best to not swear as much lately. I know you don't care, but I just broke my own rule. Anyway, I nearly made it.
Put it in the swear jar.
Nearly made it. and I'll tell you what, being so conscious about not swearing, I realize how often I might have frequently swore if we were just generally having a conversation, because I'm like, oh, pulled that one back. But anyway, around the speaking, right, it's positioning. So this is perfect. This is a perfect example of how you can position yourself and get the result you want. That's marketing 101. So you can say, yeah, cool. I could say the same thing. I'm like, look, if you want me to speak at your event, it's $150,000. Or I'll tell you what, I'll do it for free and you just let me pitch at the end. What are you going to, and then I'll split half of it with you. Oh, I mean, okay, yeah. What's the best option there, right? Because I would be very, very surprised if he would ever get paid $150K just as a keynote speaker. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Arnold Schwarzenegger got paid, his rate's like $200. I know someone who's paid it, but the point there is the positioning, man. It's genius. Like if you're someone who is a keynote speaker, or you want to be a keynote speaker, you can state your rate as X, but you're happy to do it for free. I mean, I'm happy to do it for free and not expect anything. I'm like, look, I'm happy just to come and vibe with your audience. And that's where, and this is the important part, because, you know, like, you're right, Russell's not speaking anymore. But when ClickFunnels was starting, when ClickFunnels was only a year or two old, mate, he would speak everywhere and anywhere, right? Because that's the stage. So for anyone listening right now, you've got to look at the stage that you're at in business. Now, for the last 2 years, I've been doing zero podcasts. And I've been doing zero speaking gigs. Why? Because I've been building a company. Now, could I have done it? Yeah. I mean, when I say zero, I've done a handful of speaking gigs with relationships already pre-established and commitments. But now, where I'm at in the journey and with the business and what we've been able to build and get to where it is right now to enable me, like I went and spent 7 days on an island with a bunch of entrepreneurs. I spoke, I ran a couple of sessions. I paid. I paid to be there, right? But the value on the back end of that is just ridiculously the ROI, right? So you've got to look at where you're at, the stage that you're at in your business, and what are you prepared to do, right? What are you prepared to do? That's why now I'm saying I'm going to go on as many podcasts. I'm going to go on as many speaking events, etc. Someone calls me up in 30 minutes and says I need to be in Hong Kong tomorrow. If there's a flight out immediately, I'm on it, right? Because that's where I'm at. So you've got to check in with yourself first of all and go, where are you at in the cycle of things and what are you willing to commit to?
Well, we're going to wrap that up because I think, A, if you are looking for it, and this isn't me, this isn't a bloody sponsored podcast or anything, but if you are looking
down, you should sponsor us, Victor. That's what you should do, my friend. You should sponsor us.
This Klaxon proudly brought to you by public speaking.
By Victor. By Victor.
Definitely take a step back, look at what you're trying to achieve with your marketing as a speaker, and then what you're trying to achieve as a speaker. I think, you know, from ground results, we've got some pretty awesome insights, and I'm looking forward to, not me personally, but my team taking this apart and getting some awesome sound bites out of it, because there was definitely some food for thought for me sitting here slouching into my chair trying to hide, because truth hurts. But I think, I'm sure many of you out there, no matter where you are in your business, are getting the same thing. So for that, Brett, I really appreciate you and thank you for coming on. If people want to check out Klaxon, check out you, where can they go? What can they do?
Just go to klaxon.agency or brettcampbell.net, either. Find me on any social, send me a DM, whatever the case may be. Let's connect in some way, shape or form. And if you've got a podcast, reach out to me, because like I said,
doubling down.
I'm going to take the world by storm with this message.
Cool. Klaxon spout.
C-L-A-X-O-N.
Cool.
Just so you know, that's the first time I've ever had to spell it out loud.
There you go. A world first here on the podcast.
A world first.
Awesome. So we'll link all of that and everything else in the show notes at publicspeakingblueprint.com. Again, really appreciate you, Brett, and I'll look forward to coming in and checking out the new office.
Cool, brother. See you soon.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.